Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
To be honest, for a little while, I did think it was Thursday, but this is actually the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, as you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. This one was a little later than normal. We'll call it early afternoon. But it is up there if you swing on over there to sportstimeradio.com and check that out. But also, while you're there, see that link, click on it, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you were over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? So, you know, Dan, I realize we are actually at the point of the NBA regular season where the games might mean something. And tonight there's a pretty good matchup. We have your guy LeBron James and the Cavaliers. They are in Boston to take on, well, Mr. Fantasy's guy Isaiah Thomas and the Celtics. Now, these teams are both 50-27. They're tied for the number one seed in the Western – or the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference. You know, I heard somebody today that thinks that they really believe the Cavaliers need to be the number one seed to get into the finals. Are you on board with that? And do you think this game has, you know, a little bit of significance? Because I think each team only has, what, five left? Do they play 81 or 82 in the NBA?
I thought it was 82.
Huh? So.
Maybe 81.
Well, that would be an odd number. So, yeah, it's got to be an even number, right? So it's got to be 82. So either way, I can check here really quick. They have what? They played 77, so 82. Yes, it is 82. They have, counting tonight, they have five games left. Cleveland, of course, has Boston tonight. Then they have a home-and-home with Atlanta, but there is a day in between. They're actually home, then they're at Atlanta. Then they do play back-to-back, so they got three games in four nights as they'll play your Miami Heat, who are trying to find their way back into the playoffs on Monday, April 10th, and then they wrap up the season April 12th against Toronto. I assume they're kind of hoping to be able to sit LeBron at that point in time and just let him, let him relax. But yeah, that's not the easiest of schedules. Let me pull up Boston's here and see what their last five games look like. So yeah, now the Celtics have, of course, Cleveland tonight. They're at home for that game. Then they go on the road to Atlanta, on the road to Charlotte, and then they wrap up the season at home against the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. So it looks like Boston has a little more of a favorable schedule. Do you think that adds something to the game tonight?
Well, I mean, I would say one would want to beat them for that.
So, you know, and both teams are on minor winning streaks. Cleveland's actually won three in a row. Boston's won two in a row. You know, the Celtics are pretty good at home. They're 28-10. And believe it or not, Dan, you know, the Cavaliers are only .500 on the road this year. They're just 19-19. Yeah, well, you know, you don't do it at home. You don't want to tick your fans off. So, but I believe I got to double check again. Yeah, it is the It will on the air on the Mickey Mouse Network, Dan, at 7 o'clock. You know, we don't have any baseball tonight locally. Both Chicago teams are rained out. So you can check that out if you would like. But I don't know. Who you got winning this game? Who you giving the upper hand to? So, and then the rest of the NBA schedule here real quick. Miami, we mentioned earlier, they're at Charlotte tonight. The Toronto Raptors at the Detroit Pistons. Oklahoma City is at Memphis. Denver is at Houston. The Lakers are at San Antonio. Golden State is at Phoenix. And the second game tonight on the Mickey Mouse Network has the Dallas Mavericks at the Los Angeles Clippers. So, yeah, Miami, they won, 10, 11, 12 in a row. They looked like they were going to be able to grab one of those last playoff spots. They're only a half a game behind the Bulls and the Pacers. That they're tied for technically seventh, so one would be seventh, one would be eighth. The Bulls hold the tiebreaker right now. Do you see Miami getting in, Dan? I mean, it is only a half a game. Everybody's got about five games left now. I think the Bulls and the Pacers have four. So you got Miami maybe knocking one of those teams out? It's so tough. I've said this before, and, I don't know if I've actually ever said it on air, but I said it to Schomburg Stu a lot. I would really like to see the Bulls miss the playoffs just so they could improve their draft pick, even by just that little bit, because I don't think it's going to do them any good. Right now they would face Boston in the first round. I don't think it does them any good to get eliminated 4-1 in the first round of the NBA playoffs. That doesn't help you. So, I would just assume seeing them on the outside looking in, looking for the opportunity to, kind of start a, not a full-scale rebuild, but kind of decide what you're going to do with this team. And, who knows, get a top 15 pick or, I don't remember how many teams don't make the playoffs. It seems like everybody does. I would like to see that. And the Bulls showed it again last night. I mean, your Knicks just crushed them.
Well, like you said, that's a below 500 team.
Yeah, and, that's exactly what it was. Another below 500 team just mopped the floor with the Bulls. I did hear this from Stu. I haven't heard it from anybody else, Dan. I want to get your take on it. He doesn't like the idea that we're going to see teams like the Bulls, the Pacers, and possibly the Heat get into the playoffs with under 500 records. Now, they're very close. We're talking about teams that are only 2 and 3 games under 500. How do you feel? Do these teams deserve to be in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the top two teams need teams to beat up on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's kind of, my take on it is while they make the playoffs, do they really make the playoffs? Because basically, I think an 8 is beating a 1 one time in the entire history of the NBA playoffs. And that was when the series were shorter. I think they were 5 games then. So, with these 7-game series, unless there's a catastrophic injury to that number 1 seed, they lose one or two of their best players, no 8 seed is beating a 1. It's almost literally like just a warm-up for this team to move into the second round, and I'm really surprised some of these 1 seeds don't rest their guys when they're up, 3 games to nothing on a number 8 seed. That's the time to give your guys a day off. So, yeah, you're in. Because you're looking at the matchups now, the Pacers aren't beating the Cavaliers, and this is just how it would fall out right now. I don't think the Bulls are beating the Celtics in a 7-game series. I don't even know. Atlanta's only a game over 500. They're the 6th seed. I don't think they get past Toronto in the first round. I know Toronto has had some playoff problems, but I Atlanta's not, any kind of spectacular team. The interesting series are always the 4 and the 5, because right now we would get the Wizards against the Bucks. So we would get two really young, really athletic teams in round one.
Yeah, but I still think the Wizards would come out in top.
I hope so. You know, and then, like, you know, in the East, it's the same thing, except there's only one team under 500. That's Portland. So, you know, they're a half game ahead of Denver. And, you know, I kind of look at that as, okay, great. Well, whichever one of you gets in gets to lose four straight to the Warriors, that's, you know, that's your prize for being the eighth seed, right?
But it's the experience of being in the playoffs.
Yeah, if getting your head kicked in four straight games is experience, then I guess you got it, right?
I mean, you know, that's basically what State did.
Yeah.
The objective to game one, your game 82, through all the games through the playoffs, should be to do one thing, win.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's
so, now, here's a... something I guess, you know, just kind of stupid, but I found it humorous, Dan. The Brooklyn Nets have actually won three games in a row, and they are now just three games behind the Lakers and the Suns for the worst record in the NBA. Now, the funny thing is, looking at the rest of the Nets schedule, they have four games left. They're at Orlando, home against Chicago, at Boston, and at Chicago. Orlando's not very good. We know how the Bulls play against sub-500 teams. You know, the Nets actually have a chance to get themselves out of the cellar. How, you know, would that just be, I don't know, I guess kind of karma because the Celtics own that draft pick. You know, the Nets would at least possibly get it out of the number one spot. I know there's no guarantee because there's the lottery and, you know, you and I both know that's fixed. So, but, I mean, do you see Brooklyn maybe winning enough games to not have the worst record in the NBA? The best record, yeah, they're a long way off from that. You think so? As bad as the Bulls kind of suffer against these goofy under 500 teams? So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, at one point last night, you know, the Knicks were up plus 20 points on the Bulls. You know, and I know they came back and made it decent. It was just a 9-point game, but the Bulls were never in contention to win that game in the fourth quarter. So, but I do know you're excited, Dan. I saw a report today that Dwayne Wade is practicing, and there is a chance now that he will return to play before the playoffs to get a couple minutes down the stretch. Are you excited to see D. Wade back and leading the Bulls to a championship run?
I mean, it would be fitting to see the Bulls go against the Cavs in that first round.
Yes. So, and speaking of the Cavs, it looks like Tristan Thompson is going to have to take a couple games off. He hurt a thumb. Luckily, it's only going to cost him two games. It's not going to, you know, string out into the playoffs because, you know, the last thing they need is one more injury to, you know, anybody. So, but, yeah, he'll be out tonight. That'll be, you know, making it a little tougher against Boston because Boston actually has some quality big men. So we'll have to see how that goes. Now, will you tune in at all to see that game? You know how I am with the NBA. I'll probably turn it on in the fourth quarter just to see what's going on. But will you check out more of it than I will?
No, it's baseball.
So.
And I'm sure there's a.
But yeah, you know, just.
Wednesday night rivalry matchup.
Well, let me see. I can tell you. Let me hunt down that schedule here for you, and we can take a look at it. After the Blackhawks gave that game away last night, that was quite frustrating. Here we go, Dan. There's only two games in the NHL tonight. You have the Montreal Canadiens at the Buffalo Sabres, the Wednesday night rivalry, Dan, on NBC Sports Network, the New York Rangers at the Washington Capitals. So yeah, you will be all set there. You can sit on the couch and watch the Caps and check out whatever other baseball game you'd like to look at while it's going on, right?
Exactly.
So, and then speaking of, we had two postponements. Oddly, both the Chicago teams, the Tigers at the White Sox, got postponed again. That's two out of three games in that series. And then the Cubs at the Cardinals was postponed. I thought I heard they were going to make that up tomorrow. I didn't hear anything about the White Sox game. We did have one final. The Minnesota Twins beat up on the Kansas City Royals 9-1. Hector Santiago got the win, and Ian Kennedy took the loss. I'll pull the box score up after I run the schedule down for you here, Dan. The Blue Jays are at the Orioles. It's J.A. Hop against your guy Dylan Bundy. The Marlins at the Nationals. Dan Straley against Tanner Roark. The Pirates at the Red Sox. Jameson Taillon against Chris Sale, making his Red Sox debut. The Phillies are at the Reds. Jared Eichhoff and Brandon Finnegan are the starters. The Braves are at the Mets. Dan Bartolo starting tonight for the Braves in New York. The fans going to give him a nice ovation. And it's Jacob DeGrom for the Mets. The Yankees are at the Rays. Michael Pineda and Alex Cobb are the starters. The Indians at the Rangers. Danny Salazar and Cole Hamels will go there to start. Colorado is at Milwaukee. Tyler Chatwood and Willie Peralta are the starters. Seattle at Houston. You get James Paxton against Charlie Morton to start. The Giants at the Diamondbacks, Matt Moore against Tajan Walker. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are at the Oakland A's. Garrett Richards against Jarrell Cotton. Mr. Fantasy really likes this Jarrell Cotton guy, so we'll have to see how that goes. And then we get the San Diego Padres, I believe the only major sports team left in San Diego. They are at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Believe it or not, Dan, it's a battle of former Cub pitchers. Trevor Cahill against Rich Hill. So, there you go. So, let me hunt down our one box score. Do you have any Twins or Royals on your couple of fantasy teams? So, you know, I know I tried to get Lorenzo Cain, but I got outbid in the auction league for him. So, the Royals only got four hits. So, you didn't have much luck if you were playing your Royals today. Moustakas, Cain, Hosmer, and Paulo Orlando each got the hit. Cain scored the run. Orlando got the RBI. All the hits were singles. So that did not bode well for your offense with the Royals. If you had some Twins, they had eight hits. The only guy with a multiple hit game was Eduardo Escobar, 2-for-4, 2 runs scored, 4 RBIs, and he did homer. So that's a big plus if you had him in your lineup. But Miguel Sano was 1-for-3, 2 runs scored, 3 RBIs, and he tripled. Brian Dozier went 1-for-4 with a run scored and RBI, and he did steal 2 bases. So those were kind of the main fantasy guys there. If you're in a deep league, Hector Santiago went 5 innings to get the win. 1 run, 2 walks, 4 Ks. There was no save, but Tyler Duffy, Matt Belisle, and God, I forgot Roger's first name, all got holds. Kennedy went 5 innings, taking a loss, 3 runs, 3 hits. He walked 5. He struck out 5. So there's your Santiago also hit a guy if you were using him. I know that's a stat in our league. I don't know how many other people use that. But so, yeah, there's a quick little breakdown of fantasy that way. But now You know, yesterday we were talking about it a little bit. Dan put in his free roll yesterday and came out with a big winner. What'd you win yesterday?
A giant $3.
Well, hey, you know, $3, you did better. You won three more bucks than I won. So, you know, you were definitely ahead of me. I got the big squadouche. Now, did you build on that? Have you put a lineup together for today, or what are you doing?
I'm actually doing that while we speak. Have you put together a lineup?
So I actually have a lineup set. I don't remember, or no, I got a free roll in basketball, so I put a baseball lineup together. So let me hunt everything down here. There were, you know, a couple, you know, interesting plays for the night. Let me wanted to take me to the wrong league there. That's not going to help me. We'd be talking about only the late couple guys. So we got the, this is the 7 o'clock or 7:05, however they do it, the main league. So there, you know, there are some interesting matchups. You know, if you want to pay big money, you know, Chris Sale is going to cost you $11,400. Jacob DeGrom at $8,900. Rich Hill at $86. Cole Hamels at $93. And Danny Salazar at $91. Did you pay big money for Sale tonight, Dan, or what? What did you do?
No, I went with Tanner Walker.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I was looking at him. You know, what's weird is, like, I think Sale's going to be a good option, but that's a lot of money to spend. So, you know, you're going to have to give it away somewhere else. I think DeGrom will be okay. And Rich Hill should probably be pretty good against San Diego. The problem is you just don't know how many innings you're going to get out of Hill. What swung you to kind of go with Roark over some of these other big money guys?
Just who they were going up against. So, like, maybe today would be the day.
So.
And I wanted Will Myers. I figured that you're not going to want to take Rich Hill if you're going to take Will Myers.
Yeah, that's true. You don't always like the opposite matchup there. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I'm willing to bet Mr. Fantasy has a lineup with Jarrell Cotton featured as his pitcher. You can go get him for $6,700 if you want to try to build a really big time lineup around something like that. But you know, did you do the catching thing where you just paired Roark up with Matt Wieters?
Yeah, Manny Grandel, because he was so cheap.
Ah. Yeah, well, you know, he's been really hot too. So, you know, he got out of the gates really, you know, really big time. So yeah, there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with going that route. The top five again, as I'll run them down. Gary Sanchez at 44, Buster Posey at 3,300, Jonathan Lucroy at $3,000, and then Matt Wieters and Steven Vogt at 2,900. You spent 2,800 for Grandal. You know, there are, you know, catching wise, if you want to stretch it a little, or you think you got something you can find. You know, Cameron Rupp, I don't think is a terrible play being in Cincinnati. The difficult part, of course, is the fact that they may not get that game in, and there's probably going to be a lot of that tonight you're going to have to look out for. So, you know, just getting the positive matchups like that. So, you know, Tucker Barnhart is on the other side of that matchup. You know, it's a really good ballpark to hit in. He's only 2,100, but again, watch your weather. So we slide to first base here, Dan. Goldschmidt at the top of the list for 43. Encarnacion at 41. Joey Votto for $4,000. Freddie Freeman for 3,600. And Carlos Santana for 35. You said you went with Will Myers at 3,400. So what led you down that path to Will? Did you like the matchup against Rich Hill?
That and I figured this would be a game where he'd get some action. Kind of hoping
Yeah, you know, it's you know, this early in the year, it's just kind of so tough to be like, you know, you're looking at guys who played two games, so you're like, yeah, he's hot. You just got to hope he stays hot. I know Myers was much better in his second game than he was his first game, so, you know, maybe that pays off. Let me see if there's any fun guys. Another guy, you know, if you're building on that Philly-Cincy game, if you think they're going to play, Tommy Joseph is in the Phillies lineup tonight. You know, if you're looking to save some money, normally first base isn't the money saving position. You know, you want to, spend there. So, I do like Greg Bird though for $2,400 tonight. I think he could have some value down there. But all right, well let's run the second baseman out. Good old Altuve on top at $4,000. Jonathan Villar at $3,600. Daniel Murphy and Rogner Odor at $3,500. And then, of course, my guy Robinson Cano at $3,200. Where'd you go at second base?
I was able to pick up Odor.
Oh, you like him against Danny Salazar? Because I did hear somebody say, oddly, this was a day or two ago, they think Salazar is like the dark horse to win the American League Cy Young. And I was like, wow, that's a, you know, I always talk about us making out-of-the-box picks. That's an out-of-the-box pick. You know, he wasn't on my radar. So,
you're getting into the middle of the rotation.
Yeah, you know, that's always a bigger plus. You know, kind of cruising down the board. You know, if you're using Mr. Fantasy's new kind of line of thinking, Devon Travis is just $2,400 and he is leading off tonight. So you're going to get some at bats out of him. Another guy leading off, Cesar Hernandez is $2,600, but of course he's in that Philly Red game. So you got to kind of wait and see what's going on there. You know, it's just going to be that's the one thing I like about this late swap stuff now. You know, is if you want to build a Philly Red lineup, you could do it, and then if you got to make changes, you got to make changes. So, all right, third base here, Nolan Arenado at the top at 4,100, Machado at 39, along with Josh Donaldson at 39, Justin Turner at 37. And then Kyle Seager at 35. What third baseman did you go with, and why did you go with that guy? From the Giants? What did he cost you? I don't see him. Do you got it in front of you?
27.
Oh, that's a pretty good deal. So, there's. You know, I had him Sunday when he got a couple hits and stole two bases, and Mr. Fantasy hated him. So that play really worked out for me. I hope your luck is as good as mine was with him. He actually would have had a third stolen base had he not slid past the damn bag. So, you know, a lot of interesting matchups down the board here. You know, Gurriel is down here from the Astros. Joey Gallo is down here. He hit a monster bomb the other night. You can get Pablo for $2,500. So again, if you're, you know, in the Mr. Fantasy line of thinking, Jose Reyes is leading off. He's down here $2,700. So there, you know, always some money saving options. Shortstops, big money at shortstop as always. Carlos Correa at $4,000, Corey Seager at $3,800, Trey Turner at $37, Trevor Story at $36, and then Lindor and Bogarts at $35. Same question, Dan. Who'd you go with, and what made you lean that way?
Carlos Correa.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you can't go wrong. Can't go wrong right there. So, you know, I don't think you ever have to explain why you're picking the top guy on the board. You know, that's always kind of obvious. So, you know, he's always a good pick if you got the money. I mean, you just got to hope he has a has a solid night for you. He is going against the lefty, so that should be a plus. So I'm just kind of searching here. I know Jordy Mercer's leading off. He's at $2,200, but I don't know if you want to spend it against Chris Sale tonight. Chris Owings at $2,400. He's facing Matt Moore from the Giants. There are a couple guys who are up in the order a little bit that you can find at shortstop. So, ton of outfielders here. Mike Trout going to cost you $4,800. Bryce Harper at $4,600. Charlie Blackman at $4,000. And then George Springer and Ryan Braun at $3,900. Group us your outfielders there. Who'd you go with?
Kiermaier, because he's been kind of, you know, like you said, it's hard to say he's been hot right now, but I like him up against the Yankees. Doc Peterson, because, well, they're playing the Padres. And then,
yeah.
This one was a little bit harder for me to pick, but I figured I would take the risk and go with Mark Trumbo.
Okay, that's interesting. You know, the outfield is always tough because there's just so many guys and so many options. Then you're just kind of like, oh, man, you know, where am I going here? So I'll run mine down here real quick. Let me find it. Of course, that's not going to help you because that's basketball. So let's see if it's in this category. Yes, here it is. I decided tonight I have Garrett Richards as my pitcher. I did go with Tucker Barnhart, so I'm going to jump in on that Philly Red game a little. Encarnacion at first, Peraza at second, Mikel Franco at third, Trevor Story at short, and I went with Jonas Cargo and Benintendi in the outfield. So we'll see how that works out. So hopefully, hopefully they play in Cincinnati tonight. Otherwise, I'm going to lose three guys, and that's not going to be good. So I'm going to have to keep an eye on that and make sure I got, about an hour to go before they start. So I'll have to continue to roll. Now, are you spending some of your winnings, or did you get another free roll?
No, I'm spending $1 of my winnings.
Oh boy. So we'll have to Oh, did you? Okay, we'll have to check and see how Dan does tomorrow. If he does win, he'll tweet it out, so you'll be able to see it there if you're following him. That's at Dan Z Man. So look for that. I'll have to reach out to Mr. Fantasy and remind him to start sending us FanDuel lineups so we can kind of compare his and see his new strategy and how it's working out.
I kind of built my bank up a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
One of those things sometimes you got to do that. So hopefully it works out for you and you get another winner. That would be two days in a row for you. I don't think I won 2 days in a row all of last year. You know, I really struggled until the end of the season before I kind of got my groove on. So hopefully you have some better luck than I did. And I'm doing okay.
Checked on the Cubs game before the start because I lost, I think, about six positions between both leagues today.
Yeah. I got lucky in our one Yahoo league. I only lost one guy. I had Greitrich in my starting lineup, and I got lucky. He was the only guy I lost. Everybody else I was able to I didn't have anybody else in, so that was a big plus.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of going back to that from last night. One of the guys, I don't remember which one it was in, but I had Stephen Piscotty, who, I mean, can I get extra points for him getting hit three times in a row?
Yeah. Yeah, you think it would be you know, one of those issues. But yeah, sadly, we don't. We don't get anything for that.
That's one of those things I could say I've never seen happen in Major League Baseball. And, you know, not that I wished it on them, which that last one was probably the worst, but I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, you know, just one of those weird coincidences. You know, he got hit in the elbow twice, and then that last one took his helmet off. That was scary. So... Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was really, really frightening. And I'm glad he's okay. You know, I saw the report today. He passed concussion protocol. So he would have been available today. And obviously he'll be available tomorrow. I don't know if maybe they'll give him a day off just because. So.
I would. It's early in the season. I don't see a rush. From watching the last couple of games, though, especially after last night, do you think Javi needs to just calm down? Like, is he still high
up
Puerto Rican?
I think that would be a good way to describe it. You know, he's always been a little excitable. And, you know, I think it cost him a little last night. You know, he kind of whiffed on the ground ball to begin with. And then, you know, when he finally got a hold of it, he just let it fly. I don't even know if he was really aiming or just trying to get it to the plate. So, yeah, I think they need to find a way to get him to relax a little bit.
He's just very, like you said, excitable, jumpy.
Yeah. You know, he's just that guy. You know, that's his personality. You know, he's got that big personality and, you know, it's kind of, you know, how he is, but, you know, there's ways to rein it in so you're not, you know, killing guys with the baseball and, you know, you can just kind of make the basic plays, you know, don't rush yourself too much. So.
And did you end up
watching all of the narrative? You know, it's just one of those things. It's nothing major. It's just, you know, one of those things. You know, there's ways to do it, and I'm sure he'll be fine, and he'll be great. And it's interesting to see him get so much playing time early in the year. You know, that's kind of a switch. I wasn't expecting it. So, you know, we'll see how that continues, but.
And the defense does look better with Almora in center and Hayward in right.
Yeah. Well, you know, it paid off last night, huh? Almora made just a fantastic catch. So, you know, you can't.
I think with having those two out there, it allows Almora to maybe lean to the left a little bit more so that he can cover more ground. Not saying that, you know, Schwarber can't, but I think that's a better option, as well as, you know, we know the kind of ground that Hayward can cover in right field. So I think that with Schwarber in left, it's a much better option to have those two out there than Zobrist.
Oh, yeah, you know, the outfield is much better when you get Almora or even John Jay in center field over the Jason Hayward, you know, Ben Zobrist combination. You know, they're, you know, Almora and Jay are actual center fielders. Hayward has played the position, but he's not what you would call a regular center fielder. So, you know, it's one of those things. And Zobrist is a part-time, you know, part-time outfielder.
Time everything.
So yeah, you know, so you need the help. Dan, is it funny that coming up through three games that Madison Bumgarner is still tied for the lead in home runs?
That's pretty awesome, actually.
I did. I saw an article today. I guess the Hall of Fame reached out to him. You know, now he has quite a bit of Hall of Fame memorabilia in Canton, in Cooperstown already. Excuse me, Canton is the other one. You know, in Cooperstown already, but they wanted his bat, and he told them no because he's not done using it. And I got a big kick out of that. I mean, I can't blame him either. If I hit two bombs with a bat, I'm going to want to hold on to it. So, you know, maybe if it, you know, if it dies an honorable death and it breaks or something weird happens to it, then he can send it to him. But now, would you have given up the bat? Because I know I wouldn't have.
No, and I mean, they should have known better. Major League Baseball is a game filled with superstition.
So...
No, but
yeah, I thought that. So, but yeah, he's tied with, and now the interesting thing about this, Dan, is every guy who has two home runs so far has hit them in the same game. It's Chris Davis, Yasmani Grandal, and Rognar Odor.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just kind of weird that, you know, if you're going to hit two, you got to hit them in the same game.
I mean, I think it would be a feat if Baumgartner hit one every start. That would be pretty amazing. I know
oh,
that's
God.
Pretty unrealistic.
So, yeah, could you imagine if he ended up with, like, 32 or 33 bombs? So,
I mean,
you know, that would be insane.
You've got to wonder in certain situations, when it's late in the game and, you know, it's the day after Baumgartner's pitched, does Bochy use that as an option for a pinch hitter?
Yeah, well, you know, there were actually people questioning when Baumgartner pitches in interleague games if the Giants should even bother to use the DH or if they should just stick with their regular lineup.
Well, I mean, it's kind of easy to ask that question because you already know the answer because he let Baumgartner bat last year.
Well, yeah, you think he should. I mean, I don't think I would touch my lineup at all. Just be like, hey, here's our everyday lineup. Go get them, boys. You know? So.
You know, especially if you got Nunez batting right before him.
Yeah, that's like having, you know, a second leadoff hitter right there. You know, or I mean, if it's a DH style game, you could easily plug Baumgartner, you know, Baumgartner 8 and let Nunez go 9, you know, if you want to do it that route. So, you know, against the American League teams, that wouldn't be as big as a big of a deal. But yeah, it will be, you know, it will be interesting. interesting to see how that kind of works out. I hope he lets him hit. You know, I wish Major League Baseball would come around and allow him to do the home run contest if he wanted to. You know, I think it would be fun. I mean, I know there's other pitchers out there that would cry because they would want to do it. So.
Yeah, but that was the Players Association, not MLB.
Oh, was it? Yeah, that's true. It was. So, you know, maybe they should do a fun one for, you know, pitchers. You know, you don't have to televise it. Just do it on the side or something, you know. Add it in on, you know, the day before or something and let the pitchers have theirs.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's so, you know, as long as want to televise. I think people would watch that.
I would probably enjoy that more than the other one because I would get a kick out of these guys, you know, hitting home runs. I mean, to be honest, I wish they would go back to the original way you're supposed to play home run derby, you know, where you get three outs per inning and you play 9 innings instead of this stupid whatever situation they use now. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, you know, I know they're trying to – you know, they're trying to manufacture it for TV, but you used to have a home run derby TV show that only went a half an hour. So there's ways to do it, obviously.
Yeah, but that was only between two guys.
Yeah, but I mean, there's still got to be ways to do it. you know, or at least you would hope, you know, that there's a way to kind of shuffle that or figure something out. But, you know, who knows? I just don't like the way it's done now. So that's just me.
You got to come up with something better than.
Yeah, you know, I'm just, I was such a fan of that old show. And even though it was in reruns when I actually saw it for the first time, I just loved it. And they were showing it, I think it was last year, I get a channel, I don't remember what it is, but it's channel 56 on DirecTV here. And they were showing back-to-back episodes. And I just thought it was fantastic.
Well, and I see your point. I mean, that I think could be something that it would be cool that if the MLB network did. But I mean, as far as the All-Star game goes, that would never work.
So yeah, you know, I mean it wouldn't fit the way they do TV. It's just too much. But you know, I mean, who's saying, like you just said it, you know, have the MLB grab four pitchers. And they could, you know, match up against each other, and then the two meet in the finals, and you do it that way. You know, you make it 3 half-hour specials, you know, and you show it over All-Star Weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's – but I think something like that would be non – you know, something that wouldn't happen during the regular season. But
yeah,
I mean,
as
a whole, you don't like, you know, the whole All-Star thing to begin with. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to put that format in when they're only really doing the All-Star weekend for 3 days.
Well, you wouldn't even have to do it for 3 days. You could probably do it quicker. You know, you could probably do it in a day or two.
You know what I mean? But no, I meant All-Star Weekend is only run over 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, there's some off days built in now. You know, they've got some extra off days. You know, if a guy's not pitching, you know, he would be available. So, you know, we'll have to see. You know, I don't know. I'll have to try to see if I can format something and come up with a better idea, or you know how that works. But you know, we did get some actually pretty big NFL news that I wanted to run with you here, Dan. You know, we both, I think, well, I know I did. I don't remember if you did, but I actually watched. What did you do?
No, I said Tony Romo, he's going to CBS.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, no, you know, I actually watched last year the live stream on Twitter for the NFL that they did. And now this year, Amazon is going to pay the NFL $10 million to stream the Thursday night games.
No, I thought
is that
50.
Worth it? No, I think it's 10. Is it worth it for Amazon to do that?
Well, Twitter paid $10 million last year, so I think, and they said Amazon beat out Twitter, Facebook. So I for the article I read said they paid more than $10 million. But either way, I think, honestly, even if they didn't pay more, I would think they'd beat it out because it's I think you'd reach more people through Amazon than you would Twitter or Facebook.
So,
but I think, honestly, like you said, it's big news. I think it's a lot bigger than Twitter because, you know, that was one thing we talked about a lot last year was, oh, did you watch it on TV or did you stream it through Twitter? And you're like, oh, I forgot about that. You know, I forget. Where I think Amazon people are already going to watch stuff, so you might associate it better.
Yeah, you know, it's It's interesting, you know. I mean, I never watched anything on Amazon, so I don't know if can I watch it. I don't know. Do I have to do something else, or how does that work?
Well, I mean, it's Amazon Video. It's just like Netflix.
You're right.
Going
it's a 1-year deal worth approximately $50 million. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. Don't make me crazy. I thought I was going crazy there. But no, you actually, I don't know if you reset anything, but that's on your smart TV, Amazon Video. I mean, it's not like you're going to Amazon, you know, looking for, you know, something to buy and you're going to be watching it at the same time. It's just like you would stream, you know, Netflix or any other, you know, TV application that they have now. I think the bonus with that is, you know, everyone keeps talking about cord cutters, and it cracks me up because while there's those couple of things, you know, PlayStation View has their thing where you could stream across all these networks. There's that other one with that the Mexican actor, I can't think of his name right now, who's, you know, quit paying high cable bills. But I think everyone forgets to remember is that you need the internet to stream, because PlayStation View and these others aren't providing you with internet. So when I've looked into it, I found that I would be pretty much paying the same, maybe a little bit, you know, maybe a few dollars less, but I get cable internet and a telephone for approximately the same price. I mean, it really isn't that much cheaper. Where it does save you money is if you have, you know, like my father. Well, now, if you know, everyone has smart TVs in the house, you only need one cable box, so then you can stream everything else, you know?
Yeah, because I think the only non-provider I've seen for internet is that HughesNet, but I don't know what their prices are. Because I don't think Net Zero is not around anymore, is it?
Well, I'm sure it's around, maybe just not in our areas. But I mean, even that, you know, when it came to in the past, we looked into switching to AT&T internet, for example, and, oh, you know, get it. You can stream and you can do this for $14.99 a month. But then when you call and you're like, well, no, I want to stream HD, because if I'm going to stream, I'm not going to stream regular. That was the point.
Yeah.
And then they tell you, well, if you want that, then we're going to have to, you know, this, you're going to have to be charged more and more and more. So then when you think about it, you're like, so I'd be paying the same as Comcast, and then I'd have to go through all the hassle of switching everything and doing all that. And then AT&T never seems to provide free installation. So, you know, maybe things have changed, but when it comes down to it at the end, you're always end up paying around the same amount. Oh, I think that's why people get stuck. And I don't want to say stuck, but, you know, we've been with Comcast for as long as we have because the internet's been working great. I do have to move the box so we get some better reception in the bedroom. But other than that, for my wife with work, when we had AT&T, she couldn't get her, you know, it was actually not as easy for her to work. So I just wish her work would pay for it.
Yeah, you know, like we have DirecTV, which of course is part of AT&T now, and the internet, it's not terrible. You know, you have your issues with it like everybody else, but, you know, the weird thing is, you know, they promise you all this speed, but yet it's never available in your area.
Yeah.
You know, and like I went through that for the longest time with them before I moved out to where I am now. I had AT&T, and all I wanted was wireless service. And all, like, you know, it was always available, blah, blah, blah. I would call to get it, and I'd be like, sorry, it's not available in your area. Well, I just saw your ad on television, and it says it's available in every area. Why can't I get it? You know, and there was never a good explanation. And, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, I actually ended up switching to Net Zero for basically the same price, to, so just so I could have wireless internet.
Yeah. Well, like you said, a few years ago, they were pumping out AT&T U-verse as the next best thing. And it's like you said, it's available everywhere except in my neighborhood. But if I drove five blocks to the other side of town, it was available. I'm like, so.
Yeah, and now, you know, now U-verse is pretty much gone.
Yeah. Because of DirecTV.
So, yeah. Yeah. And it's just kind of like, great. So, but yeah, I'll be interested, you know, the, it's under my, you know, the contract is under my roommate's name and it's coming up here. And, you know, she's had some issues with them and their billing. So I'm going to be interested to see if we stay or if she goes shopping for a new provider. So. You know, that, that will make, make things interesting. Cause I believe, you know, most people I know have Comcast. We're actually one of the few people with DirecTV that I know.
Yeah, we have it. It's easier to bundle it all together.
Yeah, you know, that's the big plus with that. You know, I mean, you know, when Mr. Fantasy moved into his palatial estate, he went with Comcast. And, you know, he doesn't use his home phone, but it was cheaper to get the bundle. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you just, that's all you do. You know, I mean, obviously you're going to take the better deal. So, it, you know, it, it'll be interesting in, you know, in the end to see how it works out for me and where we go and, you know, what people think of, you know, as this started out, the NFL on Amazon on Thursday nights. So.
Yeah, well, I'm,
you know, I don't know.
About, what do you call it? I have Amazon Prime, so you'll be accessible to that.
So you're a lot of things. So we have to be careful what we actually say, though.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because, like you mentioned, with the bundle and the telephone, I've had the DirecTV guy approach us at the hardware store, and he's like, "Well, let me, you know, let me just break it down for you." And he goes, "What do you pay? What do you pay?" And then he goes, actually, that is a really good deal.
Now, I did meet Schaumburg Stu has Comcast as well. He told me he doesn't have the MLB Extra Innings free preview. Do you have it?
Oh, I haven't even checked, honestly, because we have the MLB.TV, so I don't even.
Right. But, I mean, if you think about it, check tonight, because I would be interested to know why DirecTV had it and Comcast didn't, because they used to, you know, they used to both
well,
have
the
it.
One, the other, the big reason I stopped really kind of looking for it on Comcast was because not every channel was an HD. We only had a couple.
All right, well, it's time for Dan and I to head out, but we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. You know the deal while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Swing yourself over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow that Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. So hunt us down if you'd like. As always, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.